कुंजा बिहारी। जय राध माधवा कुंजा बिहारी। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस प्रारिराज कचा। जय राध माधव कुंजा बिहारी। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस प्रारिराज कचार्या स्तोत्रयस्तु श्री श्रीमद् हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस शीला एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शीला प्रभुपाद की। ग्रंथराज श्रीमान भागवतम की गौर प्रेमवाद समवेद भक्तवृंद की। All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Stai Bhutale Srimate Satsuparas Goswami Tinamani Satsvaru Paravande Vinitam Sarbhushan Bhakti Granthananai Punyam Bhakti Vedanta Shikshatam. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Staya Bhutale Srimate Ravinda Sarupa Dasiti Namine Guru Deva Divyadiya Ashyas Jashadanta Jadeya Prabhupada Bhakti Magrakshanaya Namostate. Shri Shri Radha Madhava are always engaged in blissful loving pastimes in the groves of Vrindavan. Krishna is the one who reciprocates love with the gopis, and he is the lifter of Govardhan Hill. He is the son of Mother Yashoda, and he is the attractive darling of all of Vraja. He can always be seen playing in the garden groves on the banks of the Yamuna River. Om Jnana Trimarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitanyena Taishmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadadmayam Dadati Swa Padantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Cha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Shahadvaitam Shadvahutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagapate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute. Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishvari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchika Patrubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. O Krishna, O Vasudev, O all-pervading personality of Godhead, O Krishna, O Vasudev, O son of Vasudeva, O all-pervading personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. So now that the atmosphere is a little purified, we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. We're in the fifth canto, on chapter 2, a very difficult chapter, which is something I want to discuss today. A little bit different than things we've been hearing so far in the Bhagavatam. So we're on chapter is entitled The Activities of Maharaj Agnidra. We're going to be looking at text 9 and text 10 today. The translations and purports are by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. So I'm going to read text 9. I'll read the Sanskrit and the translation, and then we'll go on and we'll chant text 10 together. This is Maharaj Agnidra being bewildered by the Apsara Parashuti. Shishya ime bhagavata parita patanti gayanti samasarahasyam ajasram isham yashmachchika vilulita samano vivrishtihi sarve bhajanti rishai gana eve varasakaha. Translation. Seeing the bumblebees following Purvachitti, Maharaj Agnidra said, "My dear Lord, the bumblebees surrounding your body are like disciples surrounding your worshipful self. They are incessantly chanting the mantras of the Samaveda and the Upanishads, thus offering prayers to you. Just as great sages resort to the branches of the Vedic literatures, the bumblebees are enjoying the showers of flowers falling from your hair." And now we'll chant this verse together. Vacham param charana panjara tirtirinam. Brahmana rupa makaram shrinavama tubhyam. Labda kadamba ruchir anka vitanka bimbe. Yasyam malata paridihi kwav chaval kalamte. Vacham param charana panjara tirtirinam. Brahmana rupa makaram shrinavamatubhyam. Labda kadamba ruchir anka vitanka bimbe. Yasyam malata paridhi kwa chaval kalamte. Vacham param charana panjara tirtirinam. Brahmana rupa makaram shrinavama tubhyam. Labda kadamba ruchir anka vitanka bimbe. Yasyam malata paridhi kwa chaval kalamte. Please chant. Ah. Brahma Arupa Makaram Srinavam Matubhyam. Labda Kadamba Ruchir Anka Vitanka Bimbe. Vyasyam Alata Paradi Kwa Chaval Kalamte. Ladies? Anyone? Okay, word for word. Vacham. The resounding vibration. Haram. Only. Charana Panchara. Of the ankle bells. Tirtirinam. Of the Tirtiri birds. Brahman, O Brahmana. Arupa, without form. Mukaram, able to be very distinctly heard. Srinavama, I hear. Tubhyam, your. Labda, gotten. Kadamba, like the Kadamba flower. Ruchi, a lovely color. Anka vitanka bimbe, on the beautiful circular hips. Yasyam, on which. Alata paradi, encirclement of burning cinders. Qua, where. Cha, also. Valkalam, covering cloth. Te, your. Translation. O Brahmana, I can simply hear the tinkling of your ankle bells. Within those bells, Tirtiri birds seem to be chirping among themselves. Although I do not see their forms, I can hear how they are chirping. When I look at your beautiful circular hips, I see they are the lovely color of Kadamba flowers, and your waist is encircled by a belt of burning cinders. Indeed, you seem to have forgotten to dress yourself. I say, you say, O Brahmana, I can simply hear the tinkling of your ankle bells. Within those bells, Tirtiri birds seem to be chirping among themselves. Although I do not see their forms, I can hear how they are chirping. When I look at your beautiful circular hips, I see they are the lovely color of the Kadamba flowers. And your waist is encircled by a belt of burning cinders. Indeed, you seem to have forgotten to dress yourself. Purport. With a lusty desire to see Purvachitti, Agnidra especially gazed upon the girl's attractive hips and waist. When a man looks upon a woman with such lusty desires, he is captivated by her face, her breast, and her waist. For a woman first attracts a man to fulfill his sexual desires by the beautiful features of her face, by the beautiful slope of her breast, and also by her waist. Purvachitti was dressed in a fine yellow silk, and therefore her hips looked like Kadamba flowers. Because of her belt, her waist seemed to be encircled by burning cinders. She was fully dressed, but Agnidra had become so lusty that he asked, "Why have you come here naked?" So I'm could go in different directions with this translation and purports. But I was thinking about this pastime as deeply as my intelligence enables me to think about it. And the question I ask myself is, why is this pastime here in the Bhagavatam at all? Okay. And what is the purpose for it being here? And why is it here? And how is it transcendental to listen to it? And I've been noticing that when people have been giving classes on these verses, they become very uncomfortable. The men, they don't want to really speak about it. And the ladies, they don't really want to hear about it. And it's being spoken by a 16-year-old Naishtika Brahmachari. Okay, something to think about. And it's being spoken before a audience of the greatest sages. So why is it here? What's the purpose? We have previously heard pastime after pastime in the Bhagavatam, either of the descent of the Lord, the reason for the descent of the Lord, how the Lord is descending, why he is descending, or we've been hearing pastimes about great Vaishnavas who have completely surrendered their lives to the Lord, and how all of them have attained the ultimate goal of life by going back home, back to Godhead, completely transcending the material world. This is what we've been hearing in the Bhagavatam, pastime after pastime after pastime after pastime. Along with these pastimes, we've been hearing heavy instructions, often very heavy instructions. If you don't believe the instructions are heavy, just go back and read Kapiladeva one more time. And the general mood has been in the Bhagavatam up to this point is renounce, give up sex desire, give up the attraction between men and women, give up kingdom, give up opulences, give up pride. Renounce, renounce, renounce. And not just renounce, because that doesn't work. Engage yourself very intensely in the devotional service of the Lord. And this has been happening pastime after pastime. We heard the pastime of Kadarma Muni, and we heard the pastime of Devahuti. And I was very happy that a couple of classes ago, a devotee said that we should see the difference between the pastimes of Kadarma Muni and Devahuti and the pastimes of Agnidra and Purvachitti. What is the result? The desire seems to be somewhat similar, the desire to have wife. What is the result? Why is the result different? So it's very important to compare these two pastimes. What happens when you go to the Supreme Personality of Godhead to fulfill a material desire? And what happens when you go to a demigod to fulfill a material desire? What happens when you want a wife to help you follow the Vedic prescription so that you can transcend the cycle of birth and death and go back home, back to Godhead? And what happens when you want a wife who can help you go to Pratiloka a planet of the demigods. So it's really important, this Kandarma Muni pastime and this Purvajiti pastime, Agnidra pastime, to look at the difference. And then after hearing about Kandarma Muni and Kapilabhave and Devahuti, we heard about Daksha too, so that we could avoid, know the deadly effects of Vaishnava Aparad. Then we heard the sad pastime of King Agna, Vena, how he got Vena as his son. By the way, a recurring theme throughout the... We also heard the pastime previous to this of Aditi. And a recurring theme that also comes up in this pastime is be very careful how you father your children. Okay, be very, very careful. It comes up, this comes up again and again and again and again. And not only how you father your children, for this on this side of the, how you mother your children, what is your consciousness at the time of conception becomes very, very important, because we see disastrous results and we see good results in the pastimes that we have studied. And then from there we went to Prithu Maharaj. And again, a successful person who went back home, back to Godhead. We heard the Pujetas, again, the successful person who went back home to Godhead. King Prachini Barishat, a successful person who went back to Godhead. The story of King Paranjana was told there. It's an allegory, but it was an unsuccessful person who, in one birth, didn't go back to Godhead, and then in her next birth as a woman, she did go back to Godhead. Okay? And then we finally heard Priyavrata, another successful person who went back home, back to Godhead. So we've been hearing pastime after pastime of successful people who have gone back home, back to Godhead. How they went back home, back to Godhead. The circumstances, different circumstances in everybody's case. Obstacles that had to be overcome. But still, the pastimes always end up, and he went back home, back to Godhead. He attained success. So here, there are other pastimes, but this is a pastime for the first time in the Srimad Bhagavatam, where a person doesn't worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, Krishna, and it's a pastime where he doesn't go back to Godhead. He goes to Prithiloka, a very exalted destination in the material world, but nevertheless, a material destination. And we are hearing about Purvachitti. Now, I could go down in the direction, considering this pastime, about the potencies of the apsaras. Many times these, you have to remember, the apsaras are not earthly women. There are 8,400,000 species of life. There are 4,000 human species. We are just 400,000 human species, 8,400,000 species of life. There are 400,000 human species. We are just one of the human species, the people on this earth planet. Actually, according to Vedic Shastra, we are the lowest of all the human species. Congratulations. But we're human nonetheless. Okay? We made it. We're just one step above the animals. One time my spiritual master, he was here in Mayapur, and I was trying to get his association as much as possible. And he came out onto his veranda. I was waiting at his door. And every night around his veranda, there were all kinds of bugs flying. bugs were flying on his veranda. And His Grace Ravindra Swarup, he commented the first day, oh, look at how, and every morning there was a litter of bugs on his veranda. You know, bugs who had died during the night. So every night, every day he was coming out and commenting on the bugs. And finally he turned to me on the third day and he said to me, he said, you know, we are closer to them than we are to the higher demigods. We as human beings on this earth planet are closer to the bugs than we are to the higher demigods. So besides this, there are 8,400,000 species of life. There's 400,000 species of human life. Among these are the Vijaras, the Rakshasas, the Kinaras, the Charanas, and then there's the Apsaras and the Gandharvas. So the Apsaras have great potency. And what do they have great potency? Take the moment in your life when you were most bewildered or attracted to a lady, or if in your lady's body, when you were most bewildered and attracted to a man, and multiply that by 20 billion times, and then you got the Gandharvas. We laugh at Vishwamitra. Oh, he heard the ankle bells of Menaka and he fell down. How could this happen? Just by hearing her ankle bells. But you don't understand, but people don't understand what an apsara is. It's the most she is the most bewitching creation in the entire universe. And when she comes, it's just not her physical form that causes bewilderment. It's the atmosphere she brings with her. She brings a powerful atmosphere around her. So this is what's going on here. He's in front of Purvajiti, not even an apsara of Indra's court, but an apsara of Lord Brahma's court. He doesn't stand a chance. Okay, and he's so bewildered. He's wondering exactly what she is. He's bewildered. He doesn't even know whether she's a man or she's a woman. He's talking in all kind of bewildering ways. Because this is the power of apsaras, okay? So this is, so we're now hearing a pastime of a man who does not go back home, back to Godhead, who goes to Pritiloka, who wants to go to Pritiloka. And why are we hearing this pastime? So the reason we're hearing this pastime, and why is it there in the Bhagavatam? Later on, there are going to be again a whole series of pastimes. Pallad Maharaj, King Rishabhdev, Jatabharat, and we're going to go right back to the theme of the Bhagavatam, the main theme of the Bhagavatam. You know, people giving up the material world in different circumstances, people giving up sense gratification in different circumstances, and people going back home to Godhead. And then finally, after this goes on for a long, long time, there's going to be the second story in the Srimad Bhagavatam that deals with an apsara bewildering a great king, and that's Pururava and Urvasi. And this pastime is going to come right before the descent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna. So the question is, why are these pastimes here? What is the purpose of putting them here? And the answer is, at least my answer, as far as my intelligence goes, I'm going to answer you by quoting some verses from, of all scriptures, the Sri Yashua Upanishad. So we'll start there and we'll try to answer why these pastimes are here. So the first verse goes, Andam tama pravishyanti ye vijayam upasate Tato buya ivate tamo ya u vidyayam rataha. Andam means ignorance. Tama means darkness. Andam tama pravishyanti means they enter. Pravishyanti means to enter. They enter into darkness and ignorance. Who enters into darkness and into ignorance? Andam tama pravishyanti. Ye vidyam yam upasate. Those who worship nescience. Those who worship sense gratificatory activities. Those who worship ignorance, non-Vedic knowledge. They enter into darkness and ignorance. They enter into Maya. One time someone said to me, I'm leaving Krishna consciousness. I don't want to worship Krishna anymore. I don't know if I believe this stuff. I don't want to worship Krishna anymore. And so I said to him, okay, so who are you going to worship? He said, no one. I'm done. I'm done with religion. Oh, yeah, you're done with religion, but are you done with worship? You have to worship. It's the constitutional position of the soul. Shotram chakshush sparshanam cha rasanam granam evacha. Adishmanas chayam vishayan upasevate. Attaining another gross material body with a certain type of ear, eyes, nose, tongue, and sense of touch that a group about the mind, he worships, the soul worships a particular scent of sense objects. So if you're not going to worship Krishna, or if you're not going to worship anyone, it doesn't mean that you're not going to worship anything. You'll end up worshiping one way or another. So this is why this word upasate is there. Those who engage in the culture of nescient activities, they enter into the culture, means worship, sense gratification, they enter into darkness region of ignorance. And then the verse goes on to say, Tato buya, even more so, Tato buya, ivate tamo, ya uvijayam ratata. Those who, worse still, are those who engage in the culture of so-called knowledge. The people who decry the Vedic literatures, decry God, decry religion, and who adopt atheistic philosophies, atheistic ways of thinking, and they teach these atheistic ways to other people. Sense gratifiers, they go down. But so do learned scholars who are teaching non-Vedic knowledge. They also go down. But of the two going down, the scholars go down to a deeper place. Okay? So then the next verse says, Anyad ahor vidyaya, nyad ahor avidyata, itishu shruma, thus it is heard. Itishu shruma, shushruma means to hear, diranam, by the very, very sober people. Iti shushruma diranam yenas tad vichachakshare. Vichachakshare means they fully explain it. So the wise, they have explained. And this is what's going on in this purport, in this pastime. Of course, Sukadev Goswami is very enthusiastic to explain pastime after pastime after pastime, where people make it out of the material world. People go back to Godhead. But the Bhagavatam would be incomplete if he didn't explain a pastime where people don't go back to Godhead. This is the duty of the spiritual master. So, anyad evahor sambhavat. The wise have explained that, listen very carefully, the wise have explained that one result is obtained by worshiping the supreme cause of all causes. wrong verse. The wise have explained that one result is worship is obtained by the culture of nescience, but a design. I'm deeply involved in regular sense gratification with my family and my wife, and I'm okay. You're okay. I'm okay. You got your community. I'm a homosexual in L.A. I got my homosexual community in L.A. I'm okay. We have our beliefs. We have my beliefs are equal to your beliefs. Your beliefs are equal to my beliefs. No one can make any value judgments. Everybody's heard this, right? This is the modern philosophy. But this verse says no. The wise have explained that not everyone goes to the same place. This is why this pastime is here. Okay? The wise have explained that one result is obtained by the culture of transcendental knowledge, and that a different result is obtained by the culture of nescience. And then the verses go on further. They say, vidya cha vidya ta cha yas tad vedo bayam. Vedo bayam. Bayam means both. Veda means to know. You have to know both. Okay? It's not enough just to know how to go back to Godhead. You also have to know how to go down into Maya. You have to know how to do this. And if you don't know, you can very, very trip up and easily fall down in that direction. So, vidya cha vidya cha yas tad vedobayam saha iti shu shruma diranam. I've heard it from the sober devotees. Iti shu shruma diranam. Yenas tad vichachakshare. Thus it is fully explained by them. So, here you have on one hand, I'm going to talk to you in American Sign Languages, so you have to wake up and look at my hands to understand. This is going to be very deep American Sign Language, so wake up and you can look at my hands. Okay? In this hand, you have the culture of transcendental knowledge. That's going to be in the right hand, because everybody knows the right hand is the good hand. And if you don't know the right hand is the good hand, then go to Catholic school in the 1960s, where they would take anybody who was a lefty and hit them on the hand and try to turn them into a righty. So we'll put the culture of transcendental knowledge is in this hand. And you look here, and this is the culture of nescience, is in the left hand. Okay? Now, these things are like this. It's like a scale. You ever see a scale when you go in the market? They weigh out your vegetables right here in India. You don't see them so much in the United States of America because they have electronic and fancy scales. But these simple scales, like the scale that's carried by the Lady of Justice. You know, the court is supposed to be blind, and the scale will just measure out the evidence, okay? So here is the culture of transcendental knowledge. Here is the culture of nescience. So here is what has to be learned. That the heavier and heavier and heavier and heavier you get into sense gratification, you get into atheistic philosophies, then the lighter and lighter and lighter and lighter your bhakti will become. Now, similarly, if you look here at my sign language, the heavier and heavier and heavier and heavier your bhakti to Lord Krishna, to Vishnu becomes, then the lighter and lighter and lighter your bewilderment, your absorption into sense gratification will be. Now, it's very important now that you really watch, because there's something that I'm going to do, and I'm going to ask you. It's very one thing that can never happen. It cannot happen. It's an impossibility. Are you ready? So what does that mean? Who can tell me? Go ahead, Mataji. As loud as you can. He cannot what? Okay, good. That's good. That's what it means. You cannot have, or as the Christians say, you cannot have God, and you cannot have mammon at the same time. You got to make a choice. So this pastime is about a man who's choosing mammon, who's choosing sense gratification. A very elevated form of sense gratification. We can get into that. There's not the scope in this class to get into that. A Vedic form of sense gratification, the highest possible sense gratification that's available in the entire material universe, but sense gratification nonetheless. And therefore, he doesn't go back home, back to God. So, the Sri Yashua Upanishad continues. Andam tama pravishyanti. Ye sambhutim upasate. So sambhuta means, and upas means the demigods, and upasate means to worship the demigods. So those who worship the demigods, they enter into the darkest regions of ignorance. Anybody object to this statement? Is there anybody in the audience who objects to this statement? Well, you should object. Because Krishna says, Yanti deva vrata devan. Prithvi vati prithvi. Those who worship the demigods, they go to the demigods. How is it that in this particular verse, the Sri Yashupadashad, it says those who worship the demigods, they enter into the darkest region of ignorance? One has to be right and one has to be wrong, right? So how do you reconcile this? Those who worship the demigods, they enter into the darkest regions of ignorance. That's not true. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, those who worship the demigods go to the demigods. Worshipping the demigods is part of the Vedic system of elevation. It's a very elevated thing to do. Ah, there we go. But you're cheating because you've heard me talk on this before. Okay.
For a devotee, going to the demigods is as good as going to the darkness.
As good as what?
As the darkest of places.
Okay, that's true. That's a good way to look at it. A devotee going to the demigods is the darkest of places because Krishna is not there and loving devotional service is not there. But that's not exactly the answer I was going to give. The answer is that Krishna is talking short term. And the Sri Yashua Upanishad is talking long term. In other words, you worship the demigods and you perform those, you go to the demigods. What happens when you get to the demigods' planets? You enjoy intense sense gratification. You also have duties to perform there, but there's gardens, Prabhupada explained, called the Nandanandana Gardens, where there's a beautiful apsara women and an incredible quantity of somaras. A party. How long does it last for? And there's no karma when you get to the planets of the demigods. You're just burning off. You've already made the money and now you're at Disneyland. The money is already made. You're at Disneyland. It's time to have a good time. We're not worrying about money right now. We're just going to
star is infused.
planet of the demigods anymore. You're on Earth planet. And now that you're on the Earth planet, there's rules, there's regulations, there's karma. We're on karma stan. In order to go back to God, you have to know where you are. We are in karma stan. Everything we're doing is measured and calculated. There's demigods with computers high above who are just calculating. Oh, he did that? Oh, he did that. Very good. That doesn't go on in the heavenly planets. It doesn't go down in the hellish planets. And on the hellish planets, you've already did your crime. You're just being punished. In the animal species, you've already done your crime. You're just being punished. The only place that's karmastan, and the only form of life that's under the rules and regulations of karma, is the one we're in right now. So that is why. So you come back down on the Earth planet with a great propensity to enjoy, and you're actually born in a pretty opulent situation as you come down from the Earth planet. And then what do people on this Earth planet do who are born in opulent situations? Generally, on occasions, if they're born in very cultured family, there may be piety there. But they come down to the Earth planet and they begin to sin. And then where's the next trip after that? The next trip is down to the hellish planets. So therefore, those who worship the demigods, they go to the darkest regions of ignorance. Long term. And then it says, okay, how much time we have? How am I doing here, time-wise? It's 9 o'clock? Okay. So I think I'll stop here because of time limitations. But there's two more verses left to the Sri Isha Upanishad. It warns against the worship of anything or anyone except the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna. Those who engage in... there's one result that is obtained. The wise have explained that there is one result that is obtained by worshiping the supreme cause of all causes, but a different result is obtained by worshiping that which was not supreme. Therefore, one has to know perfectly the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his name, fame, form, qualities, and pastimes. Is that enough? Is that enough? No, it's not enough. As well as this temporary material manifestation with its temporary demigods, men, and animals. One has to understand this fully. As well as this temporary material manifestations with its temporary demigods, men, when one understands these, when one's got the idea, then and only then, he can surpass death and the ephemeral cosmic manifestation along with it. And in the eternal kingdom of God, he can enjoy his eternal life of bliss and knowledge. Okay, we'll stop there. Anybody have anything to say, any questions? I wanted to speak a little bit on Lord Jagannath. I was asked to, please forgive me. I didn't get a chance to, maybe next time. Say something about Lord Jagannath. Anyone else? Any questions? Anybody want to leave now? They're welcome to leave.
Yeah, could you please give the source to this answer you gave that the darkness of ignorance is the result?
Yeah, we've had this conversation before. It's my own realization of the verse.
Strange that Prabhupada would not mention something as as obvious or important as this.
Well, in the Prabhupada does mention it, but he doesn't mention it in the Sri Isha Upanishad. He mentions it in the Bhagavad Gita. That they go up to the heavenly planets, and then after enjoying in the heavenly planets, they come down to the earth planet again. And then what happens after that? The story keeps on going on. It doesn't end there after they come down to the earth planet. So my realization of this verse, this is my realization, sorry, I'm giving Bhagavatam class. I try to keep it as much as possible to the Shastra, but I am allowed to say a little bit something about my realization. My realization of this verse, in contrast to the verse where Krishna says, those who worship the demigods, they go to the demigods, that the verse in Sri Isha Upanishad is talking long term, and the verse in that Krishna is saying is talking about short term. And when we're talking short term, we're talking 30, 40,000 years, or something like that. Yes?
Prabhupada said we have to preach according to our realization, the level of our realization.
Yeah.
And there's such a thing as philosophical speculation.
Right.
Wherein you can speculate about the meaning of a particular verse, you can draw conclusions, and you can give your own purport. It's okay. It's not that you simply repeat constantly what the spiritual master
yes.
said.
Yes. And yeah. Thank you very much for that support. And there's a Mataji. Mataji wants to say something, wants to ask a question or say something.
Where is the source about there's no karma in the heavenly planets?
Someone's got to help me with that. You've already done the pious activities. Yes, go ahead. Okay, I can tell you one pastime. When Arjuna is approached by Urvasi, in the heavenly planets for union, Arjuna doesn't want to take any part in it. He's seeing Urvasi as his mother, because Urvasi was the wife of Pururava, and Pururava was a king in the Kuru dynasty. So Arjuna is just looking down at the floor and saying, no, I'm not interested in this, I can't do this, this is sinful. This is wrong. Go away. You're so powerful, but please, I can't do this. And Urvasi says, no, you don't have to worry about this. We're on the heavenly planets. There's no sin here on the heavenly planets, she says. These things are just earthly concerns. Up here, there's no concern. So that's in the Mahabharata. That's one place. Yes, Panchajagrikabhu. I'm able to tell you two apart pretty easy now. You actually are quite different after you live here for a while. As you get older, by the way, you're looking more and more different. When you were 20 years ago, it was harder.
Hare Krishna, thank you for the class. I always held the same views that there's no karma here, but when I asked His Holiness Bhanu Swami about this,
Bhanu Swami, karma about in the heavenly planets.
Yes, he said there's karma everywhere in the material world.
Okay.
He said there's karma there, but you know, it's not like here. There's no sinful kind of life there.
That's correct.
But is the whole world, the whole place is karma, but there's not. Dramatic reactions like
that. I want to change my statement on the light of what you said. There is karma in the heavenly planets. You're just working off karma. And the same thing, there is karma in the hellish planets. You're just working off your karma. Whatever your karma is, how many pious activities you got, you're working them off. But the place where karma is created, and specifically the form of life where karma is created, and is the human form of life in Bhumandala. So there is karma in the heavenly planets. You're working off your karma. Okay, tick, you spent that much money. 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 You tick, you spent that much money. Okay, time to go back down to the earth planet. Like that. So it's karma. You're just working off the karma. Yeah, go ahead.
Daksha created karma when he offended Lord Shiva. He lost his daughter, and he got the head of a goat.
Yes.
He didn't have to, but he created it as when he was in the in heaven.
Say that again. I didn't hear the last part.
He created this situation not before, but when he was in heaven.
Okay, so now we're moving from karma into the land of offense. Okay? We're moving from ordinary karma into the land of offense.
Still, doesn't matter. It's karma.
There's a difference between offense and karma. Okay, we'll leave it there. This is getting a little bit too deep for my brain. I'm sorry. I can't answer all these questions so well. Yes?
In material world, we have this transcendental knowledge as well as we have the sense of enjoyment as well. So my question is that in the heavenly planets also, they have intense sense enjoyment, but as they have more intelligence as well, because they are more intelligent than us. So they can understand the transcendental, they can understand Srimad Bhagavatam in a better way, like we are understanding, because we have low intelligence and they have the higher. So you said that once you reach to the heavenly planet, you come back to hell. But can't the elevator go up? I mean, from heavenly planet, can't we go back to Godhead because we can understand Srimad Bhagavatam in a better way?
It's not that everyone who's in the heavenly planets is a devotee of the Lord, first of all. You can attain the heavenly planets by other means than just by being a devotee of the Lord. There's karmakandiyas up there, there's gyanakarandiyas, gandakarminas up there, there's yogis up there, there's sages. It's a very, very tricky place, actually. It's a good place to avoid. And there are devotees up there. And all those people, the karmakandiyas, the karma yogis, the jnana yogis, the astanga yogis, and the devotees, they can all be called devotees on one level because they're all theist. So everybody in the spiritual world has a tendency, in the heavenly planets, they have a tendency towards theism. But not everyone up there is a devotee. And another thing is it's really hard to be a devotee when you're surrounded by too much sense gratification. It's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than it is for a very rich man to enter into heaven. Even here on the earth planet, when we see devotees, poverty is a good quality, a good qualification for being a devotee. You don't have a lot of choices. It's either worship God and hope for a better life, or just, you don't have a lot of choices. But when you're very wealthy and you're very rich, the choices become exponentially greater. And especially the choice or the ability to perform sense gratificatory activities becomes, when the facility is there, then the temptation is greater. So among the demigods, it's explained. Now we're talking about, there's different types of demigods. You know, there's demigods like Shiva and Brahma. They're on a whole other category. Then there's the demigods like Indra. And then there's upademigods like the Gandharvas. There's a whole different classifications of demigods. But for most of the demigods, it's a very, very tough situation to to go back home, back to Godhead. It's 10 times harder, a million times harder than it is for an earth person, a person in a human body in the earth planet. It's much, much difficult because the temptation is that much greater and the facility is that much greater. Here, what the heck do we get? I mean, the sense gratification is like, you know, there's some sense gratification, but I mean, you know, it's like a drop of water in the desert. So, and we here, everything is balanced. Generally, in a person's life, the pain they get will equal the pleasure they get. When there's too much pleasure, then it becomes, you become unbalanced. And so you cannot see the material world for what it really is. And so to understand this in full, more in full, I direct you to the pastime in the Srimad Bhagavatam of Vitrasura and watch the behavior of Indra in that pastime. Vitrasura went back home, back to Godhead. Indra stayed here to enjoy the heavenly kingdom. So, not an easy thing to do to go back to Godhead from the demigod planets. When you go above the demigod planets, when you get into Tapaloka, Gyanaloka, Maharloka, Siddhaloka, and Satyaloka, then things change up there. But from the heavenly planets, it's usually like a merry-go-round, up and down, and then down to the bottom, then up to the middle where we are now, then up and then down. We've been going like this since time immemorial. Okay, Hare Krishna.